Last week, we learned what kind of president God rejects through Saul. The king God rejected. He was a self-gratifier, he was a hypocritical liar, and he was a people pleaser. We don't want to see these qualities in a president that we would elect. But today we'll learn what kind of president God accepts. Through David, the king God accepted. Today we'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20 to verse 51. So if you have your Bible, you can open to there. We'll learn timeless principles about what kind of president God accepts. I pray that this will help us to vote according to God's will on Tuesday, November the 4th, the coming Tuesday. It's voting day. And we'll learn six qualities about a president that God accepts. And look carefully in the presidential candidate that you're planning to vote for on Tuesday. Do they have such qualities? Or do they have the qualities that is more like Saul, as I shared last time? Before I share the six qualities in a president that God accepts, let's look at who is David. And then what happened to Saul after he was rejected by God? Who is David? Go to the next slide, next one. David was called by God to be a man after his own heart. A man after God's own heart, according to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. He is one of the eight sons of Jesse of Bethlehem, according to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. That means he is a descendant of Abraham. As God promised, Jesus, the Messiah, will come from Abraham, and Jesus is called the son of David. And David was the descendant of Abraham. God always keeps his promises. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 to 13, we see that David was not very tall, unlike Saul. Saul was very tall, very big, very impressive. Everybody will be attracted to him because of his outer appearance. Everybody would think that he was a good warrior. Never would anybody think that David was a better warrior than Saul. Nobody even considered him good in the family, since he was number eight. According to the Hebrew, the Israelite, Jewish traditions, seven is a complete number. If you are number seven among your brothers and sisters, it is a good number. But number eight, okay? Now Jesse had seven sons. It was perfect. It was complete. Suddenly there was one more son that made the number incomplete. So that's why you see that David's father seemed to have neglected him in his life. When there was a very important family conference, family occasion, that the prophet Samuel was there to try to anoint the next king of Israel, all the seven sons were asked to come to meet with Samuel, except David. And he was just there tending the sheep during that important moment. But David was the chosen one. David was the man after God's own heart. And after he was anointed by Samuel, God's Spirit was with him. Let's go to the next one. You see, what I have shared about David is based on what the Bible shared with us about him. Okay, so God's Spirit was with him. But what happened to Saul, the king that God rejected? Go to the next slide. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. The one accepted by God has the Spirit of God. The one rejected by God does not have the Spirit of God. Here, don't misunderstand that the evil spirit from the Lord. The Lord is holy, totally separate from evil. But God allowed an evil spirit to torment Saul, the king who disobeyed God without God's Spirit with him. He was vulnerable to sin and the evil spirit. That's why he was controlled by the evil spirit, and he was suffering, being tortured. And then David, who was already being anointed, he had the Spirit of God, and then he was able to help Saul when he was commanded, according to chapter 16, verse 23. It says that whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, here it's talking about the evil spirit, came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul, he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. When the man with God's Spirit is there, he had the power to drive away evil spirits that was tormenting Saul. So that's what we see. After King Saul was rejected by God, he no longer had God's Spirit. As a result, he was tormented by an evil spirit. But more than that, let's also listen to the following passage in chapter 17, verse 1 to verse 11. He talks about something else about Saul after he was being rejected by God.
Chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung in his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel,
"Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us."
Then the Philistine said,
"This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man, and let us fight each other."
On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified.
On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. You guys were laughing when you heard the deep voice of Goliath. I think really big, tall people, they have deeper voices. If you have heard Yao Ming speak, I think similar to that. But Goliath was even taller than Yao Ming, 9 feet tall. Definitely probably the tallest man ever lived. And so it was a terrible scene to see a huge enemy like that. But remember, Saul was a good, victorious warrior himself. He was the tallest in his own tribe. And when God's Spirit was with him, he had no fear. He won many victories. But now, look at verse 11. When God's Spirit left him, on just hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. A victorious warrior now becoming a coward. If we don't have God's presence in our life, we can be very easily controlled by sin and stupid behaviors, like dressing as ghosts and devils on Halloween, getting drunk in parties, and getting physical with people. When a difficult, unexpected situation arises in your life, like a car accident or a bad exam result. Because with no God's presence in your life, you'll be scared to death, as if that's the end of the world. The way Saul reacted when he saw Goliath. But if we have God's Spirit, we should have no such fear in our lives. when Saul was in desperate need without God's presence, that's the time a man of God can help. And David is such a man of God, a man after God's own heart. That's God's comment for King David, a man after God's own heart. In the following story, the most familiar and one of the most impressive stories, a true story, we will learn six qualities of a president that is accepted by God. First, a president, go to the next slide, a president accepted by God always looks for opportunities to make a difference for God and his people, as we will see from the following passage.
Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped up from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear.
David was always looking for opportunities to make a difference for God and his people. He first fulfilled his own responsibilities on the smaller task well. First, his dad asked him to be a shepherd. He did that well. And then his dad asked him to go to the battle line to see how his brothers were doing in the battle. Are they still alive? And what's going on with the battle? So David left the flock with a shepherd. He was able to find someone responsible to take care of his own responsibilities before he moved on. He knew how to delegate. And then when he was there at the battle line, verse 22, David left his things with the keeper of supplies, and then he ran to the battle line. He delegated, finished his small task well, and then he moved on to see what more important things are going on so that he can make a difference for God. He was always looking for opportunities to make a difference for God. He was observant. He knew what's going on in the world. And he was able to hear what Goliath was saying. And that prepares for what would happen. I think we all need a president. We all need a leader. We all also need a friend who is like David, who finishes the small tasks well, delegates to the responsible people, so that he has time to look for opportunities and more important issues in order to make a difference for God and his people. We need a president, we need a friend, we need a leader just like David, who is always seeking to make a difference for God instead of someone satisfied with maintaining the status quo. Just do what I'm doing, nobody's complaining, and I'm okay, and let me just live my life like this. But David was not like that. He was always thinking about how I can do better, how I can make a difference. The second thing that we'll see, second quality about a president accepted by God, is that this person always sees things from God's perspective and is bold enough to be personally involved. According to the following passage,
now the Israelites have been saying,
do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel.
David asked the men standing near him,
what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him,
this is what will be done for the man who kills him.
When Goliath, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked,
why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle.
No
what have I done?
Said David.
Can't I even speak?
He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul,
Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and find him.
David saw this battle in a different perspective, from God's perspective. According to verse 26, he says, Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It is not just about a battle between men. It is a battle against God's chosen people. It's a battle against the living God. He saw that immediately because he had the presence of God's Spirit with him. While everybody was dismayed, terrified. Verse 32, David said to Saul, Let no one lose heart. He was an encourager. But not just by words. Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. He was willing to take on the responsibility himself. There was a huge danger to be involved in a task like this. Goliath, the tallest man ever seen on earth, the strongest man, the best warrior man have ever seen. And yet, David, not very impressive, not very impressive, not tall at all, looks more like a boy than a man. But he was willing to take on this challenge because he looked at things from God's perspective, and he had the boldness, the courage from God to be personally involved. I think we need such a president. We need a leader. We even need a friend when we are in need. Someone who can see things from God's perspective, not just the human perspective, and then be terrified. But someone who is bold enough to even be personally involved. David had God's Spirit in him, with him. That's why he knew the real issue. When other people were scared, he was encouraging them. And he volunteered to be the pioneer to solve the problem. He didn't just talk about the problem and blah, 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 but he took action to solve the problem. We need a doer, not just a talker, or a president, a leader, or a friend. We need a doer, not just a talker. And David was not just a talker. He was also a doer, taking a huge risk for God. Thirdly, go to the next slide. A president accepted by God remembers God's guidance in the past and builds his confidence on God's faithfulness.
Saul replied,
You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. He has been a fighting man from his youth.
But David said to Saul,
Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
Saul said to David,
Go, and the Lord be with you.
When he should be in fear, instead, David remembered what happened in the past and how God protected him from a lion, from a bear, when he was tending his father's sheep. He knew God was with him. If he could kill a lion and if he could kill a bear, he believed that God would also help him to defeat Goliath. We need a president, a leader, or a friend when we're in need, who is like David, who always remembers what God did in the past in my life to help me when I was in need, in crisis, and then builds his confidence in God, knowing that God is faithful. As long as we continue to seek God, God will help us go through this crisis as well. This should be someone who is always giving thanks to God instead of whining, complaining all the time, but he's always giving thanks to God, even for the smallest things. And he always mentioned about how God guided him or her. As a result, this person is willing to take on even bigger challenges than what he faced before for God, because he has confidence in God. This is David. And this is the president, a leader or a friend that we should be seeking. For the next slide, fourthly, a president accepted by God knows his own strength and what works best for him, instead of being a copying cat.
Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them.
I cannot go on these,
he said to Saul,
because I am not used to them.
So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine.
It was a great honor for King Saul to give his own armor to David, a little boy. He certainly had courage, but the king was giving his own armor for him to wear. And yet, David tried to wear that, and he found out that Saul was much bigger, and obviously that didn't fit him very well, and obviously that was really heavy, and he tried to walk. I mean, he was not used to wearing an armor, so he couldn't move very well. He immediately knew bad armor, although it was an honorable, like a gift from the king, would not work for him. He knew exactly what would work for him when he killed the bear, when he killed the lion. He was not wearing any armor, so he didn't need an armor. What he needed was God's presence. We need a president, we need a leader, a friend, who not only knows God, trusts God, but also knows himself, his strengths and his weaknesses, and he would know what works best for him when he does work for God. Not just blindly following other people's ways that does not fit him well. That's why I share the message about spiritual gifts. That's why we should continue to seek to find out the special spiritual gifts God has given each one of us. And God, with your special gifting, will allow you to do things in a unique way that's different from other people. So don't always try to copy from other people. Think about what's unique about you that God has gifted you with. And David was such a leader, a king. And we need such a president, a leader, or a friend too. We need a president, a leader, or a friend who not only works hard, but also works smart. We need a president who works hard, but also works smart. He knows his strengths, and he will use his strength to fight the biggest enemy in his life, for the country. So the next slide, the president that God accepts is always on God's side and does everything to glorify God himself.
Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David,
"Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?"
And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
"Come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field."
David said to the Philistine,
"You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands."
Next slide. According to verse 45, David said to Philistine, who was not terrified at all. He knew that he was on God's side. And he said, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You are against God, and I am on God's side. It's impossible for God to lose this battle. And this day, the Lord will hand you over to me." Not only did he know that he was on God's side, but he was trying to be on God's side for God's glory. We try to do a thing for God, but sometimes it's for our own glory. But David knew exactly why he was on God's side. The end of verse 46, he says that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands for his glory, so that everybody will know there is a true God in Israel, and the true God that David trusted in. We need a president, a leader, a friend who knows that he is on God's side and he is doing everything to let others know the power of the true God, not just trying to do things to impress other people, to let people know how good he is, but to let other people know how good God is, to glorify God himself. We need a president, a leader, a friend who is a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. Saul was a people pleaser. David was a God pleaser. For the next slide, a president God assessed does not back off from a formidable enemy, calmly fights the enemy, and makes double sure the enemy is defeated.
As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly to where the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword.
For the next night, imagine yourself playing basketball with Yao Ming. What would you do? You probably would be scared, right? Run away. I know some of you play basketball this afternoon. But facing Goliath by David was much, much more challenging than playing basketball with Yao Ming. But see what David did. David ran quickly toward the battle line. He was not scared. He did not back off. Instead, he ran towards the enemy. While running towards the enemy, he was already preparing step by step how to defeat his enemy. Verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And then the big 9-foot tall Philistine fell face down on the ground. Not just that. After he saw the Philistine lying down on the ground, he wanted to make sure that this huge giant, his enemy, the enemy against God, would not come back alive. So he made double sure that he was dead by going over, taking the Philistine's sword and cut off his head. If the head is off, I'm sure that person would be dead. So he made double sure the enemy was defeated before he saw. We need such a president, a leader and a friend who is courageous, who is calm, and who follows through on whatever he does, not just doing things halfway. When we are in trouble, we don't need a president, a leader, or a friend who gives up on you during the last minute, who doesn't do anything to help, and never finishes what he promises. We need someone who never backs off, who calmly fights the enemy, who makes double sure the enemy is defeated, who follows through. I think being the President of the United States is one of the most challenging jobs in the whole world. And I think he will face many, many formidable challenges every day. And you will have many enemies. Many people are fighting against God. They stand for values against God's values. They support abortion. They support same-sex marriage. And many other things that are wrong according to the Bible. If this president is not a man or woman, suppose it is a woman, it is not someone after God's own heart, this person does not have God's presence, it's impossible for this person to act like the way David acted against Goliath. We should vote for a presidential candidate who has more of the qualities I mentioned, besides not being a self-gratifier, a people pleaser, and also not being someone who is a hypocritical liar, but also having those six qualities I mentioned when he is facing a formidable challenge. But you say, I don't see a presidential candidate like that this year. Should I not vote? What should I do? I think many evangelical Christians have trouble voting for either one this year. They don't know who to vote for. But it's still our responsibility as citizens of the United States to vote. If you don't vote, other people will vote for the ones that's more pleasing to the world. I think we can still vote for someone who hurts next. Someone seems to stand firmer on the biblical values, besides having a good character. Maybe the character is not so good, but still better than the other one. So if you don't see one that you think definitely you should vote for someone who will hurt less if you have to vote. And I think it's our responsibility to vote. And that's what I have been trying to do. This is the first time I will vote, and I applied, and this is the first time I'm in Louisiana. So besides filing the application, I also needed to go in person to give my passport to the Registrar of Voters. The first time I went there, that was Thursday, and I saw a piece of paper outside the office saying, early voting has ended. I thought, oops, I missed it. But I didn't just quit. I called the office again and found out that early voting ended on Thursday, but I could still go in, and the office was actually open to still go in to finish my registration. So I went again on Friday. I actually got lost. I was in traffic that was really bad. But finally, I was able to not only give my passport, but also my wife's passport to the person there. The person made a photocopy and said that just make a phone call on Monday, and then you will know where to vote. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to vote this year someone who heard that. I think our responsibility as a citizen does not stop at voting. Our responsibilities as a citizen only start as the new president, whoever that might be, becomes the president. We should continue to pray for the president. He is facing a spiritual war every day. If he doesn't have the presence of the Spirit, he is not going to be able to do anything right for God. We need to pray for this person. And maybe God can even use us the way God used David to help someone who is a president that even rejected by God, like Saul. So if our next president is like Saul, let yourself be like David. It's very likely that the next president might be like Saul. Then let yourself be like David. This message is not just for presidents, it's for every Christian. Everyone can be like David. And we can do the following. Next slide. First, seek to make a difference for God always. Be a doer, not just a talker for God. Give thanks to God always and take on big challenges for God. Work hard and work smart for God. Please God in everything you do. Be courageous, calm, and finish everything well for God. Don't just start on things and never finish for God. You're doing a work for God. If you're doing a job, if you're studying for the school, or just doing a job for a company, being afraid of the boss or your professor, you try to finish your work. But you're working for God. How much more effort we should put into our work for God? So be a responsible citizen first of God's kingdom and then of the United States. Vote on Tuesday. All right, let's pray. Okay, Heavenly Father, our country has become a country that has many, many formidable enemies and challenges to face for the next president of the United States. But first of all, would you give us wisdom? Would you give us time to study well who is the president that needs that will hurt less? And meanwhile, help us to continue to be like David, someone who is after your own heart. Help us to be future leaders, maybe even president of the United States, who can truly make a difference for God, not just for ourselves, to glorify ourselves. This world is trying for a godly man or woman to serve the country and to serve God. I pray that you will be with each one of us on a daily basis, and we are willing to seek you on a daily basis, not just fulfilling our small tasks, responsibilities well, but also willing to dream big for God and let God use us for the bigger things, bigger challenges for God's kingdom. I pray for the next president of the United States, whoever he might be. I pray that this person will be saved by trusting in Christ alone. Not just projecting himself to be a Christian and yet not even know that Jesus Christ is the only way. I pray that this person will be convicted by the Holy Spirit and to stand up for the values in the Bible, not just by words but also by his life. May this president, who might not seem acceptable even by the people of the United States, by God's transforming power, become one who will be willing to follow God and serve the country according to God's will. May you give us peace when we are in the process of voting and when we are following this new president's leadership. We know you are in control, but we also want to fulfill our own responsibilities according to your will. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You gave the